Hello, Saints. Good to be back with you again on this beautiful fall day. Let's go ask the Lord to bless us today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for all the revelations you're giving us in your, out of your word. And I praise you, Father, for your anointing today to get this word about you turning our lights on. And I praise you and glorify you, Father, for all that you do. Let it be a blessing to everybody. In Jesus' name. Well, that's what I want to talk about today is God going to turn your light on. He wants to light our lamp. How many of you know you are important to God? Though darkness is all around today, God has made provisions for you so you don't have to walk in darkness. And the same God who commanded light to shine out of darkness wants to turn the light on inside of you. He wants to enlighten your darkness. Now let's find out how he's going to do that. Let's look at Psalms 18, 24 through 28. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the perfect man, thou wilt show thyself perfect. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the perverse, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but the haughty eyes thou wilt bring down. For thou wilt lighten my lamp. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. David says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And the word says, if you walk in darkness, you know not at what you stumble. Did you know that the human spirit is God's light bulb? It sure is. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says this, the spirit of man, that's the human spirit, is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, this ain't talking about the stomach. It's referring to the human spirit. The spirit of man, the human spirit, is the lamp of the Lord. It's the candle of the Lord. In the day these scriptures were written, candles, of course, were used for light. But we're in the modern age now. We don't think of candle as a light. Today, we'd say it this way. The human spirit is the lamp or the light bulb that God uses to enlighten you. Your Bible might even have a footnote that uses the word lamp. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And the word belly is used both in the Old and New Testament, usually referring to the human spirit. Because Jesus, when talking about the Holy Spirit, he says it this way, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, in John 7:38. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, which hadn't been given yet at Pentecost. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he dwells within your human spirit, for God's Spirit bears witness with our spirits. And concerning things of the Spirit, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to compare spiritual things with spiritual, in 1 Corinthians 2:13. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, who is a spirit, created man in his image and likeness. And in the beginning, he said in Genesis 1:26, chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over all the earth. Adam was created to be ruler under God and have dominion over all the earth. God did not intend for man to be a little worm in the dust, searching out for things to do and not knowing how to do them, because he gave man dominion over all the earth. And man was to function in that realm because his candle was lit. His spirit was like God's. for it came out of God. He was in God's likeness, you understand. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, in the Amplified, he says he breathed into Adam the spirit of life. God breathed his spirit life into man, and man became a living spirit being made in the image and likeness of God. And I believe Adam was an exact duplication of God's kind. Well, what kind is God? Because God is a spirit. Since God is a spirit, we can't contact him with our bodies. We contact him with our spirits. There's angels all around us, but we can't reach out and get a handful of angels, can we? Because they are spirits. They don't have physical flesh, blood and bone and bodies. God is a spirit, and he must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. He uses your human spirit to enlighten you, to bring revelation and understanding of things you don't know naturally. You can be highly educated. You can be an intellectual person and have no spiritual understanding. Your carnal mind can be educated, but your spirit may be uneducated concerning the things of God. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually judged. And the book of Isaiah states in Isaiah 59 verse 19, it says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Well, since the Holy Spirit has been given, we're living under a new and better covenant, I think we ought to read it this way. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Well, where does the flood come from? Jesus said, out of your belly, your spirit flows rivers of living water. Your belly is your spirit. When you know not how to pray as you ought, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities or weaknesses. Romans 8 and 26. What does this Holy Spirit do? He sheds light and gives insight to your spirit when you don't know how or what to pray. Then he makes intercession through your spirit in the perfect will of God. This is the spiritual light that God brings to you, the revelation that comes through your human spirit when your candle is burning. There's no way we can understand all the things God moves upon us to do or say. David said it this way, the opening of thy words giveth light. So God's word brings enlightenment to the spirit. Now let's look at John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. In who? In the Word, Jesus. In the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. This is why David said, God will send his Word and light my candle. And the interest of the Word brings light. In Psalms 119, verses 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word is a lamp or candle that enlightens darkness. The word entering your human spirit enlightens your darkness. Now, I don't believe we have fully recognized the wisdom that's released in the Word of God, because wisdom comes out of the mouth of God. It is his word revealed and conceived in the human spirit. Wisdom comes by the Word of God and thrives in the human spirit. The wisdom of the Word affects everything you do and say. It will give you light when darkness is all around. While others are wringing their hands, not knowing what to do, the Word conceived is going to bring you light. And somebody might ask, what part do I read to get the wisdom of God? Well, that's a simple answer. That's a simple simple answer is all of it. You can get healed on the begats or gain wisdom just listening to the genealogies. So saturate yourself with the Word of God. Get the New Testament on tape and play it day and night in your home. Give yourself to the Word. The entrance of His Word brings light. Well, you might say, I just don't understand how that would bring light to me. Well, it will, because it is light and it is life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. The Word affects your total being, and it will cause you to make correct decisions and not know why you made them. It will bring healing to your physical body. Psalms 107:20 says it. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. When this says God sent His Word, it means exactly that, because Jesus was a personification of God's Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. John 1:4-5. You know, the darkness could not prevail against the light. John 15:7-8. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And notice, the Word must abide in you for you to bear fruit and glorify God. Then again, notice He said in John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we. Now, not just me, it says, but we, that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, will come unto him and make our abode with him. If you love him, you will keep his word in your temple, for your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your human spirit is housed in this temple. Keep the word in your human spirit, and Jesus will make his abode with you. The abiding word in your human spirit will create a lifestyle fit for God. Then the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will set up camp inside you. A lot of people say, I just never know what to do when bad situations arise. I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm never where I ought to be. And they go on repeating what the devil told them. They have overdosed on the devil's word. And what they need to do is try to overdose on God's word instead of talking the devil's language. And you can tell instantly when the Word of God abides in them. That word will cause them to speak in line with what God said about them. Whatever I do will prosper. Ain't no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm always in the right place at the right time. Glory to God. That's the way we ought to talk. God's image of you is perfected by speaking God's word after him. The word enlightens your innermost being. And your head might be screaming, you dummy, it ain't so. You're lying like a dog. You're never in the right place. Well, sometimes you might not be. But you should continually affirm what God said about you, regardless of what you are experiencing. The word says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and whatever you do will prosper. So even your mistakes will prosper if you believe for it. It's the word on your lips coming out your mouth that causes your candle to give light. Isaiah 54:17, Psalms 1:3, Psalms 119:130. David said in Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to speak only words that are acceptable to him. And many things acceptable to God are unacceptable to religious people. Some people just don't want to hear or see what's pleasing to God, do they? You know, God wants to reveal mysteries to us too. So let's take a look at the attitude of Jesus concerning those who don't want to see or hear the truth. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says this, By hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. And notice what Jesus said, Their eyes they have closed. It was an act of their will. The word closed is the same Greek word from which we get our English word squinted. The word brought the light of truth to them, and they squinted or closed their eyes to that light. They were accustomed to darkness. They couldn't stand the light. Jesus said, Lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and I should heal them. If the word had entered their heart, they would have been healed and delivered. But they wouldn't receive it. And if you've been in a dark room for a long time, you'll squint when that door is open into the sunlight, won't you? Because your eyes have to become adjusted, have already become adjusted to the darkness, and they react to sudden light by closing them. That is what Jesus was referring to. But he goes on to say in verse 16, Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The human spirit is capable of receiving God's word that brings great light and wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, Paul says, Jesus is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus was the Word made flesh. He is the light of men. He was the Word of God in physical form, performing the work of the Word on earth. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons to show us what God's Word could do on earth. Jesus died. He was resurrected. And he ascended to the Father. But the Word is still with us to heal and deliver. The Word works the same today as it did back then. The Apostle Paul tapped into it when he said in Romans chapter 10, verses 6 and verse 8, The righteousness which is of faith saith thus. Then verse 8, The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the Word of faith which we preach. And this is one way God's going to light your candle. With his word. His word will enlighten you. Speak it out of your mouth and it'll get into your spirit. Then it's going to bring results. Too many people are trying to operate with a head knowledge of the word, but it ain't going to work when you only have a head knowledge. It must be a revelation in your spirit. Notice Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The human spirit will sustain his infirmity. Well, there's a footnote in my Bible that says it will hold in or hold off his infirmity. That sheds a different light on it, don't it? That human spirit will sustain, hold in, or hold off an infirmity. When you speak the devil's words, it's going to cause your spirit to hold an infirmity in you. But speaking God's word will cause your spirit to hold off an infirmity from you. When God's Word is conceived in the human spirit, the Holy Spirit has something to work with. And it's the Word and the Spirit that brings the manifestation of God's power. Some people have the Spirit, but no Word for the Spirit to work with. Others have the Word, but not the Spirit. But it takes both to have that manifestation of God's power. Words can establish circumstances. Proverbs 18, verse 20 says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied." Now, take into consideration what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 6 and then verse 8. "The righteousness which is of faith saith thus." Then verse 8, "The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart." Well, Paul's statement seems to amplify Proverbs 18 and 20, which says, "A man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth." And I believe that the word belly is referring to the human spirit or the heart of man. It'll be satisfied with what you say. It will either hold in the infirmity, weakness, sickness, or it'll hold it off. "And with the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied." In other words, he's going to be satisfied with what he speaks. You will also be satisfied with what you speak, good or bad, blessing or curse. Now, let's say a situation arises that you might need several $1,000. What do you say? Well, "The righteousness which is of faith says this, the word is near me in my mouth and in my heart." And so your spirit man asked, what does the word say? In Philippians, it says that your God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. If, that's a big if you have given like the Philippian church gave, but you look around, you see lack. What are you going to establish with your words? Present circumstances of lack or the promise of abundance from the God's word? Now remember, you will be filled with the increase of your lips. And if the word doesn't abide in you, you will establish your present circumstances by your own words. And that's why God told Joshua, and I'm going to paraphrase it, in Joshua 1 and 8, "Don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth." That was the word of God in Joshua's day. God knew Joshua would be filled with the increase of his lips. And God gives us great insight into this in Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Now, let me mention something here that you might not have thought about. Since death and life are in the power of the tongue, you can speak death to the words of the devil by resisting him with God's word. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." When you speak life by speaking God's word, that's how you do it. "For death and life are in the power of the tongue." Whatever you speak life to is what you establish. But you must make that decision. Which are you going to speak life to? God's word or the devil's? Regardless of what God promises you in his word, if that promise doesn't get inside you, you'll never be enlightened to it. You might hear it outwardly and know that it's in the Bible, but the most effective method for getting God's word implanted into your spirit is to speak it into your heart. And as God told Joshua, "Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Keep it in your mouth day and night." That sounds like quantum faith, don't it? We find this statement in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. "Write them upon the tablet of thine heart." Well, how can you write on the tablet of your heart? David gives us a little insight into this in Psalms chapter 45 and verse 1. "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." You write these things in your heart with your tongue. Man's belly or his spirit will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Your spirit will receive and be satisfied with what you speak, whether right or wrong. James chapter 1 verse 26 says, if any man thinks himself to be religious while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his heart. Your words will deceive your spirit into believing what you're saying is what you want. That's why that your words are so important. You should never speak anything that disagrees with the Word of God, because God's Word is the final authority. Whether it looks like it's true or regardless of what you think, God's Word is still the final authority. What you think is not going to change God's Word, but your thoughts will change the effect of His Word on you. And the point I want to drive home is this. God wants to light your candle. He wants to bring light into your spirit. The entrance of His Word does truly bring light. David makes this statement in Psalms chapter 17 and verse 4. As for the works of men, by the words of thy lips I have kept me from the ways of the violent. He said, Father, by the words of your lips I've kept myself from the path of the destroyer. And that brings up another scripture. It says this in 1 John 5 and 18. Whosoever is begotten of God sinneth not, and the evil one touches him not. Sometimes we leave everything up to God. And we say, I believe God's going to take care of this situation. I'll just leave it up to Him. But John said, he that is born of God keeps himself from the wicked one. Well, you might be asking this question. How do you keep yourself from the wicked one? David gives us the answer. He says in Psalm 17 and verse 4, by the word of thy lips, that's God's lips, I have kept me, or myself, from the ways of the violent. In other words, he's saying to God, I have taken the words of your lips. And the indication is that he put them in his mouth. The word of God enlightened David's spirit until he began to see things the way God saw them. And to see the way that God sees them is to get that word of God in you. One of the major problems in the body of Christ today is that so many see themselves as the devil sees them and not as God sees them. And if we're going to be victorious, we have to get the image of God inside of us and see ourselves the way God sees us. God sees us as He said we were, victorious. And whatsoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, 1 John 5 and 4. We must have within us the image that God has of us, and then we will be enlightened and see that God's fullness will dwell in us as we keep His word. You know, words create images. With God's words, you can create His image of you. And the more of His words you use, the more you're going to have a clearer image. And this is why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Mark 4:24. You don't need to hear all the things the devil has said, because his words also, they create images too. Jesus made this powerful statement as he spoke to Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's also a reciprocal to this truth. If man shall live by every word of God, then man will die by the words of the devil. If you speak God's word, it's going to impart God's life to you. If you speak the negative things the enemy says about you, those words will bring defeat, doubt, unbelief, and can eventually cause spiritual death. Man shall live by every word of God. Why? Because there's life in every word of God. And as Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There is still spirit life in the words that Jesus spoke. He imparted the spirit that was in him into every word he spoke. the words he spoke can impart that same spirit life to you. And if you can live by the word of God, then you can die by the words of the devil. The negative words of the enemy will bring death, for the world is moving in a negative stream. If Jesus' words impart spirit life, then the words of the devil impart spirit death. The spirit Satan imparts in words brings destruction. So we need to take heed to who we listen to, right? Because words make a tremendous impression on the human spirit. So we need to be careful of who you follow after and who you fellowship with on a consistent basis. There's many things in the book of Job that people don't understand. But if you really study it, you'll find that much of it's prophetic. The book of Job contains some astounding revelation. Look at Job chapter 29, verses 1 through 4. And Job again took up his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shined upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness, and I was in the ripeness of my days, when the friendship of God was upon my tent." I believe this chapter is also prophetic of Jesus by law of double reference. When his lamp shined upon my head and by his light I walked through darkness, glory to God. And under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit was only upon the prophets, priests, and the kings. We've got a better covenant today as believers today. We have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. And this is why Job makes this statement. When his lamp shined upon my head. And I want you to notice it wasn't in him. It was upon his head. In the scriptures, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were not baptized in the Holy Spirit like we are today. But he came upon them. And as I was in the ripeness of my days when the secret of God was upon my tent. Notice again, it's upon, not in. It's upon the tent. When Jesus talked about the Spirit of truth that would come, he said he will guide you into all truth. He will teach you things to come. The Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of Christ as he's called, will teach and guide you. And in other words, he will enlighten you. He'll turn that lamp on, glory to God. You'll shine like a new neon sign. Now, there is revelation within the human spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in the human spirit. And the human spirit is capable of receiving the things of God. And this is how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the rulers of this world hath known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye saw not and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. Now some people read this and they say, yeah, you know, the Bible says nobody knows. But we do have access to that knowledge if we read the next verse. Look at it said, 1 Corinthians 2 and 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What Spirit searches all things? Well, in the King James Version, the word Spirit is capitalized, but I don't believe Paul's referring to the Holy Spirit. I believe he's referring to the human spirit. Ask yourself this question. Why would the Holy Spirit need to search the things of God? The Holy Spirit already knows the things of God. I believe it's the human spirit that searches the things of God. No person can be truly fulfilled in life unless their spirit is in tune with God's spirit. The human spirit is always in search of true happiness and fulfillment. that comes only by being in fellowship with our Father God. Notice again 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Eye saw not, which entered not into the heart of man. Well, that seems to be a contradiction, don't it? Because the next verse says in verse 10, but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. It did enter into the heart, but it came by the Holy Spirit into the human spirit. God enlightens us through our human spirit. There is no contradiction here, for it didn't come by sense knowledge, but by revelation to the heart. Paul said, compare spiritual things with spiritual. And first he reveals the fact that the natural eye has not seen and that the natural ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man through the five senses. It didn't come by seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, or feeling. Because God revealed it to us by His Spirit. It came by the Spirit of God into our human spirits. So we need to light our lamps, don't we? God wants to light our lamp and enlighten our darkness. But the lamp of the wicked shall be put out, it says in Proverbs 24:20. Now you hear the world say this, well, they're burning the candle at both ends. Well, that's a different candle. If God lights your spiritual lamp, you won't have to burn the candle at both ends. You'll be in the right place at the right time and know the right thing to do at that time. God will lead you by your spirit to the right business deal. He will reveal it to you days, weeks, or months in advance. And He'll teach you things to come so you can travel His road to success. So we need to let it burn. Because when your lamp is burning, God will lead you by your spirit. The things you can't see with your natural eye, He will reveal to your spirit. He will say, no, don't buy that. You'll get into trouble. And you say, but I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, everybody thinks it's good. It really seems to be the thing to do, Lord. But down in your spirit, that red light comes on. Something there says, no, don't do it, Michael. Have you ever walked up to somebody and had that red light inside you begin to flash? Your spirit seems to draw up in a knot. You hear, be careful. Don't get involved with this guy. There's darkness there. Things aren't as they seem. And you might say, but I don't see a thing wrong with him. Well, you better listen to that voice inside you. That's your lamp burning. Let God enlighten you. And remember, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And I'm convinced that if we would develop ourselves to be led by the Spirit and allow the lamp of the Lord to enlighten us, we would be a success in everything that we set out to do. But we have to train ourselves to listen to our spirit. And you might be saying right now, I don't understand how my spirit can do that. Well, you don't have to understand all about it. You can know things beyond what the natural man or mind can understand. You can be in the right place at the right time when you are enlightened by your spirit. So get your mouth in agreement with God's word by confessing, whatever I do will prosper, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Psalms 112:4 says this, unto the upright there ariseth a light in the darkness. Now, I'm sure you realize that the world's getting darker every day. Anybody can't see that, it's messed up. But it's not something Christians should get discouraged about and want to hide in the mountains about. For light shall arise in you even in the midst of darkness, it says. Somebody might say, well, how in the world do you think you're going to have so much light when everybody else is walking in darkness? That's because your lamp burning. God's word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You'll be able to see which way to go. So walking in the light, things aren't going to get better in the world. The world will be walking further into darkness, stumbling as they go. But you don't have to stumble in darkness. you can have a light of life. And as we approach this end of the age, we as believers are coming closer to the kingdom of light. And that makes our light grow brighter. But as unbelievers, the world is getting closer to the kingdom of darkness. Therefore, their darkness will grow darker because their lamp is put out. When Adam was created by God and put on earth, his lamp or his spirit was burning. The Holy Spirit enlightened him through his spirit. But when he sinned, that lamp went out. Then he was ruled totally by his five senses. Every man after Adam was ruled by his physical senses until the day of Pentecost, when there was a candle lighting ceremony. In the upper room, 120 lamps were lit. And then before the day was over, their number had grown to over 3,000. That was a lamp lighting ceremony second to none. They could then receive and understand the Word of God. Have you noticed in the scriptures that when Jesus told the disciples exactly what was going to happen to him, they just stood there as if to say, huh? When he told them he was to be crucified and die, they said, well, when you set up your kingdom here in Jerusalem, we want to sit beside you. They didn't understand a thing that he had said. But when they were born again, they called to remembrance the things he had said because their spirits had come alive to the things of God. His words then became understandable. Their lamps were burning. Light had come. Now let's look again at Job's words. As I was in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, Job 29:4. Notice he said upon it and not in it. You will notice a difference between the language used in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Jesus said in John 14:16-17, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholds him not, neither knows him. You know him, for he abides with you and shall be in you. Well, under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit comes to abide in your human spirit and bring revelation. He reveals things to your spirit that don't come by the five physical senses. They're revealed to you from within. Paul makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 2:12. But we received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. Well, what spirit did we receive? The human spirit which is of God. He's telling you that God has imparted his spirit to you. Why? So you can know the things that are freely given to you of God and not have to walk in darkness. So you won't have to say, I have not seen nor ear heard. Nobody knows what God's done. Yes, we do know. For he has revealed them by his Holy Spirit into our human spirits. The spirit of man is truly the lamp of the Lord. It's the means God uses to enlighten us, so we might know the things freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. Well, here Paul is referring to the human spirit, for that's the spiritual part of man. Your physical body doesn't have an ounce of spirituality in it. The change starts in your human spirit and changes you from within. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually judged. That natural man, your physical body and mind, doesn't know all about you, but God's spirit and your spirit do. Notice Paul's statement, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For who among men knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knoweth save the Spirit of God. And this reveals that the human spirit knows all about you, and the Spirit of God knows all about God. So when you bring those two spirits together, you have tapped the source of all knowledge. In other words, you got your candles lit up. The light is turned on in your spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Well, now who's he that is spiritual? It's the spirit man, that's a human spirit on the inside of you that is spiritual, and he judges all things. But your spirit is judged by no man. Men may judge your actions, but they can't judge your spirit. Only God can do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 said, For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? Through the word of God and the human spirit. For God's spirit bears witness with our spirits. When the human spirit and God's spirit come into unity, we're in contact with the source of all knowledge. Let your lights burn. Look at Luke chapter 12, verses 31 through 34. Yet seek ye his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that which ye have, and give alms. Make for yourselves purses which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief draweth near, neither moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there where your heart will be also. In other words, your treasure is in your heart. Now let's notice verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lamps burning. Your loins are to be girded with truth. The word of God is the truth that you're to be girded with, and the lights he's referring to is your spirit. Turn your light on. That's good advice. Gird yourself with the word and let your lights burn. When you are girded with the word, your lamp is bright. God's word will enlighten you to the wisdom of God, to the mind and direction of the Spirit of God. The word is the fuel supply for the light. Look at Job 18, verses 5 and 6. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tent, and his lamp above him shall be put out. And in Proverbs 13 and 9, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Well, what does that mean? I believe that as the wicked man comes closer to the end and refuses the light of the word, their darkness is going to grow. Even what little light they have received from others is going to be put out. And even in the business world, I believe those who have had the knowledge to make millions will lose it in the days to come, unless they get their lamps lit. Proverbs 24:20, For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Notice the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more. In other words, it's getting brighter. Glory to God, it's getting brighter and brighter. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Proverbs 4:19. And we're coming closer to that day too. Those who make a decision to walk in this life, then their pathway will be a way of light. But the wicked will go further and further into darkness and confusion. Proverbs 11:8 shall be proven true. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. And I believe in the days to come, the wicked will become more confused and they'll lose what insight they have in this world system. But the righteous will grow in wisdom and understanding of God's way as they get in and get the Word of God in their spirit. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you again next time, God willing.